welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, broadcasting from my basement out here this in Plains of Colorado during the COVID-19 sequesterization. And this reminds me a bit of Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, which begins with, "This was the worst of times and the best of times." And so we have both of these aspects coming together right now. And that's what makes it so interesting. Pew Research is indicating an increase in homeschooling. The opportunity for an island of freedom, an island of culture, certainly an opportunity to exempt ourselves from some of the destructive influences that are going on around us. And Pew Research's recent data gives us homeschooling growth up to 3 million students. And that's given a school-age population of 57 million, which, by the way, are all schooling at home right now during the COVID-19 pandemic. And if we take the number 1 million homeschooled students in 1997, now 3 million 22 years later, that gives us a growth rate of 200% in 22 years. That would be roughly 9% per year. Also, Pew's numbers renders 53% evangelical, 22% unbelievers, 8% Catholic, and 17% mainline denomination among the homeschool population. Well, friends, these are the most recent numbers, came out in fall of 2019 on a random survey. Pew Research gives us that, yeah, Christians make up the majority of the homeschool population. Homeschool population now at 3 million, and that's something like 4% of the school-aged population in America, and that's up from 1 million in 1997. Our Gen 2 survey that we did on 10,000 homeschool graduates found that 82% of homeschoolers would homeschool their own kids. And my estimation was by 2030, given the 82% number, by 2030, we would have something like 10 million homeschoolers in America. And also, my numbers guessed at 3,200,000 homeschoolers by 2020, which is about where the Pew numbers came into. So we're at roughly 3 million. My estimation is, given the 82% number we pulled off the Gen 2 survey, we'd be at 10 million homeschooled students by the year 2030. That's 10 years from now. And that assumed a 7% growth for first-generation homeschoolers, and it appears from the Pew numbers that we're up to 9% per year growth, and the numbers could be also much higher if the 57 million American children being homeschooled or schooled at home right now would shift to the homeschool ethos, or some percentage of them would shift to the homeschool ethos. That could mean that we'd be upwards of 15 to 20 million by 2030. So many radical changes happening right now in American education. There's homosexualization and gender dysphoria for six-year-old kids is the ultimate destructive influence. Came about in 2011, California, the first state to mandate the homosexualization of six-year-old kids and the gender dysphoria for six, seven, eight, nine-year-old kids. That came in 2011. So again, these are radical revolutionary changes happening in American culture, in American education. That came in 2011. So we have the homosexualization, gender dysphoria for the majority of American kids in government schools. Also, the centralization of the masses in large buildings, considered increasingly risky to so many, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic or the panic. Which I think got people to think that if we put to, you know, more than 10 people in a room, if we put 100 in a room, if we took 1,000 kids, slammed them into a building, the possibility of a pandemic increases substantially, or at least the spread of pandemic increases substantially. Thus, the centralization of power, the centralization of numbers, of kids, of people in one area, in one building, in one institution, increasingly risky in the mind of the modern. So these are changes that are coming about in the mind of those who have participated in the modern Towers of Babel. Also, we've seen the breakdown of academics and education knowledge itself in the postmodern disaster zone. Homeschooling also has had this solid 30, 40-year opportunity to prove itself. And we've seen something like an 80 to 85% success rate in terms of relationships, academic, et cetera, et cetera. Always seeing that homeschoolers upwards of the 85th percentile, 94th percentile in math and reading and such. So we've seen so many of these studies coming out over the last 30, 40 years during the disintegration of the Western world. And of course, the massive increase in numbers. Now, COVID-19, with 57 million American kids being schooled at home, and the governor of Virginia, or at least the administration of the government of Virginia, suggesting that this school at home scenario will continue for two more years. All right, so all these changes coming about, homeschooling just taking off, doubling in size, increasing by a 200% ratio over the last 22 years, you know the enemy is going to attack. The socialists are still thinking of the messianic state providing a messianic education to the youth. The philosopher kings, upset they can't control the shaping of the minds and the hearts of the next generation, quite bothersome to some of the philosophers who are at the university level in Harvard Law School putting together that symposium in June to dismantle the home education movement in America. Tough to do, though, when all of the attendees are stuck at home and they're having to do an online conference while they're schooling their kids at home. Just a tough conference to pull off is all I'm saying. All right. Well, here we are. And Dr. Brian Ray is joining me today on this edition of the program. He has been on this program many times. He's the preeminent statistician for home education across America for at least the last 30 years. Maybe it's 40 years now. I'm losing track. He's a homeschooling dad, a homeschooling grandfather. His children are homeschooling their children now. So big things happening with Dr. Brian Ray. And he is also director of the National Home Education Research Institute, now joins us. Brian, welcome back. It's good to have you here today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, so many big changes going on in America, in American education, with homeschooling. God is at work with the nations of the world. And I don't think homeschooling is going to go away. Do you think so? No, it just seems like it's here to stay now.
It's here. But even though it's here and it's growing and there are all these things happening, and there's a lot of positive evidence. Like you mentioned, it's the big C word, control. Control. You know, people know as Christians they're either controlled by sin or they're controlled by God. You know, and if you're controlled by God, you look to his ways. If you're not, you're always looking for some other way. You know, you're looking for some God, lowercase g, you know, be it yourself, be it at your community, be it your civil government. So people have to figure out how to control people. That's what they want to do. They want to know how to control people. And when children are outside of institutional schools, outside of institutional schools that are generally controlled by the state, there are certain people get very agitated about this, Kevin. Very agitated. And you mentioned some of them.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in just a moment, the Harvard Law School conference and some of that. But first, the good news, research is showing that homeschooling is doing very well and continues to do very well. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting that some of these people who like to attack home education or they attack research that might suggest positive things, they'll miss the forest for the trees. Like they can't see. Like a few of them will attack some of my studies and say, oh, they don't tell us anything. Well, they don't really understand research methods. There's almost never the perfect study. But what I want to mention is this was amazing. It's just an idea I got. I think it came from God is always helping me. I did a review of only peer-reviewed research, and by God's grace, it got into a peer-reviewed journal. So you look at the big picture, and we see things like this. This is statistics from that. On the academic achievement of homeschooled children, 78% of the studies, 78% of the peer-reviewed studies found homeschooled children do statistically significantly better than those in public school.
Wow.
And then people, you know, the big question you've heard for 40 years, what about socialization?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the studies, peer-reviewed studies, all of them and only peer-reviewed, 87% of the studies found the homeschooled children did significantly statistically better than the institutional schools.
Wow, 87% is huge. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, and then think about this. And then, okay, then people say, okay, well, all right, that socialization question, that's maybe answered. But how are they going to do in the real world of adulthood and college, you know, that stuff? 69% of the studies found that the homeschooled graduates did statistically better than those from conventional schools. So I just tell people, that's not research by one guy.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, from Oregon, who's been doing research for 37 years. That's not just studies from one guy. That's studies by dozens of people all over the world. And overall, 78% of all those peer-reviewed studies found the homeschool to be doing statistically significantly better.
Brian, just wondering if, and obviously my bias is for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the discipleship of the nations by way of home education and other means. Now, the recent Pew number said 53% evangelical. Do you have any feel for what the trend has been since the 1990s? Was it higher, do you think, in the 1990s?
I do have a feel, and I also have a feel is based on empirical evidence and experience.
Okay.
So yes, I think that if you flash back 20 or so years, 20, 30 years, a much higher percent of homeschooling families would self-identify as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, evangelicals, those kinds of labels.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was never only Christians. So I want to be really clear about this. There were many others, you know, there were New Age, there were agnostics, atheists, nominal, you know, kind of Christian type folks, but it has shifted. And that does not mean there are fewer Christian homeschoolers.
Right.
It just means a lower percent.
That's right.
You know, you mentioned the homeschool population has grown tremendously. So it has become a much more available, considerable option to mainstream America.
Yeah.
So we have all kinds of people. I would say if you just wandered the streets in any some middle class town and said, you know, found parents who have school-aged children, well, did you ever consider homeschooling? Oh, high percent would say, oh, yeah, we thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, you would not be hearing that. But today, many, many, large percentages have at least considered it. And so you have just a broader variety now. You've got ethnic minorities and the religious philosophical is all over the place. Pagans, agnostics, Christians, Muslims, Mormons, Jews, you know, just it's everywhere.
And now 57 million American kids schooled at home. Now, we don't say they're homeschooled per se.
You know, what do people call it? Like a duress teaching at home or sudden teaching at home or viral teaching at home or whatever you want to call it.
Do you think that's going to have any impact on the movement itself?
I think so. I mean, as far as the movement goes, this is not empirical research, but my talking with people is that many of those people are going to say, whoa, this is a lot of work. I never want to do that again. But a significant portion are going to say, you know what? We learn things we never learn. We develop some family relationships, parent-child, sibling-to-sibling. We realize we do not need government-approved teachers. We do not need university school of education-trained teachers. We do not need government-approved curriculum. We do not need $12,000 of our neighbor's taxes. And we kind of enjoyed that. It was a different way of living. I think next fall, well, of course, if some of the states keep the public schools locked down, of course, you can have more teaching at home with the public schools. But I think we're going to see a notable number who actually transition into what you and I have called homeschooling for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
And this could be a serious bump. I think we could... You know, hey, if even 3% of the folks that are schooling at home right now decide to go the whole distance, I mean, we're looking at a 1.5 to 2 million person bump.
Yeah. You're quick with numbers, and it's a real possibility. You're much more into prognosticating than I, Kevin, but you just could be right. You're pretty good at it. You've got a gut feeling for statistics and what's going to happen.
Well, we just draw lines, but of course, God is in control. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And we'll see what the Lord has for us. But, you know, obviously, the kingdom of God is not over on earth. And the discipleship commission that Jesus gave to us, which, by the way, starts with parents and pastors discipling their little disciples, and discipling the nations is the commission. That is what we are to do. between the time that Jesus ascended and the time that Jesus is coming back. So let's get on with it. And I think the kingdom of God is going to benefit greatly from the discipleship opportunities that are going on in evangelical homes around the nation right now. Don't forget, friends, that still there's 85-90% of evangelicals do not Christian disciple their kids. They still send their kids off to a discipleship in a distinctively humanistic, materialistic, naturalistic, anti-supernaturalistic worldview, which has been mandated by the Supreme Court of the United States for government-funded schools in America. So we still have the 85 to 95% of evangelicals we are working on and hoping that somehow they'll gain something of a Christian discipleship approach for their children. And friends, I think that may be happening right now. So let's get back to these attacks. Of course, you know, with the increased interest and with, you know, 100% of American children schooling at home right now, you know that the enemy is upset. You know the enemy is going to respond in some way or another. So from whence comes these new attacks on homeschooling, Brian?
Yeah, I alluded to it. You know, there's a whole issue of control, and it's fascinating how sometimes people who become very well educated formally, they develop these interesting views of reality. And at the bottom of it all, Kevin, and you know this better than most anybody, it is about their metaphysics, epistemology, and axiology. It's a fundamental presuppositions. For example, Professor Elizabeth Bartolet and Professor James Dwyer are the co-hosts of this summit, they're calling it, coming up at Harvard University. It's all about kind of like politics and what would be proper policy to I don't even know the words they use, but to look out for the homeschool community and the homeschool children. But here we go. This is from page 156 of Dr. Dwyer and Sean Peters' new book on homeschooling, the history and philosophy of a controversial practice. Here's assumptions. Like I said to you, we got to give it to him, hand it to him. Not a lot of these people will put it out front, but he says on page 156, one of his basic assumptions is, quote, the state must have the ultimate authority to determine what children's interests are, end quote. So he's saying the state, that's the civil government, must decide the educational best interest of children. Now, that goes totally contrary to a biblical worldview. It goes rather contrary to most of the U.S. American history. But that's his worldview. It is a clearly secular, humanistic view that he and other people can come up with the best way to raise children, not parents, and not definitely not God.
And that's precisely what Plato said, that the children belong to the state. That's what Karl Marx said, the children belong to the state. That's what Jean-Jacques Rousseau said, the revolutionary thinker behind the French Revolution, that horrible, bloody, demonic event that occurred in the 1790s. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the children belong to the state. And we were actually arguing for the homeschooling position for the family perspective at the Education Committee meeting here in Colorado over the compulsory attendance law. And a judge who was testifying in favor of hammering down the compulsory attendance law turned to the homeschoolers in the audience and said, all of your children belong to us.
And yeah, you've got it. That's how it works.
That's what they think. Now, let me ask you this. You believe that Marx, Rousseau, Plato, all these guys are wrong. What does God say about this?
It's clear. I mean, if you start it right in Genesis and go all the way through the Bible, and I did this with my philosophy of education students at a college for 5 years, I said, just go through and ask yourself questions such as this. Okay, this is dad and mom, church leader, ask yourself this question. To whom does God give the command to be the main educator and or discipler of a child? To whom does God give the command, the duty, the responsibility to decide what concepts they're taught and shown to them every day? Who's supposed to do that? And then you also ask yourself, here's the other, this is the corollary question, Kevin, that most Christian leaders and Christians don't want to answer. And who does he say should not be doing the teaching, training, and indoctrination of the children of God's children? You can see this in Deuteronomy and Genesis and Proverbs and the New Testament. And the answer is pretty simple. And I did this with a big evangelical church in Southern California last fall. It was just amazing, incredible. And they all, like, nobody argues. It's the parents. That's who's supposed to do it. The children of God's children are supposed to be taught by the parents. They're the main ones. And then when I ask them who's not supposed to do it, they get a little fidgety in their chairs, but almost all of them will say, it's not supposed to be the civil government. It's not supposed to be non-believers. It's not supposed to be the Philistines and the Amalekites. It's not supposed to be people who believe in and promote perverse sexuality that is anti-scriptural. So I don't even have to say the answer any more clearly than that. There is a who is and there is a who shall not. And most Christians don't want to deal with this, especially that second question.
Well, let me ask you this, Brian. What happens when the children are turned over en masse to the state? What happens when the family or parenting is derelevantized by the state? What happens when you get the Platonic state where no son shall know his father and no father shall know his son because the bureaucrats take over on the birth of that child in the institution? Does everything turn out wonderful? Does the character of the nation just develop into this wonderful character? And the economy is the most wonderful, blessed economy in the world. The world debt to GDP ratio goes to zero, or does the world debt to GDP ratio go to 600%, 800% until we run into a complete disaster? What happens when the family is dissolved and the parent is irrelevantized?
I can tell you what some people will be arguing right away. Their minds are speeding ahead. But just because you put your kid in a government-controlled school doesn't mean he's going to turn out bad. That's the wrong argument. By God's grace and mercy, in spite of, despite bad teaching, training, and indoctrination, he, by his nature, saves sinners. Okay, I'm going to get that out right up front. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when we obey him and we do it according to his means, things go far better. And by some gracious way that I could say is something of a mystery, those children of God's children, we see more of them love him, follow him, submit to him, and things go better economically for them. Fewer of them will dishonor their parents. I was just reading the Old Testament. It's pretty horrid what God says if you dishonor your parents.
Mm-hmm.
We have all kinds of things go better. I mean, you have better relationships between father and son, mother and son, mother and daughter. You have better relationship between siblings. You have a stronger church. You don't have to have energy, time, resources going to depression and trying to fix problems that occur because of interactions with pagan, perverse peers. I mean, even look at secular books like Hold On to Your Kids by Gordon Neufeld. Children who are peer-oriented, peer-dependent, rather than adult-oriented and adult-dependent, like God talks about, they become more suicidal, depressed, lower academic achievement, many negative things attached to that. So when we do things the way God orders them and the duties we're supposed to follow as parents, things overall go much, much better. And I think that the research is just recognizing God's truth, and the research about positive things related to parent-led home-based education are just recognizing that things go better. It's kind of like, I won't name names here, but there's certain Christian share ministries that people get instead of insurance. And they say to you, well, you have to promise not to smoke cigarettes and not to drink to drunkenness and not to have sex outside of marriage. And you can be a part of our group. And by the way, your rates will be much, much lower economically than those who get to do whatever they want. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Why is it cheaper? Because we're following God's ways.
But Brian,
overall,
you know what Professor Bartlett and Professor James Dwyer would think about homeschool. They think it's dangerous. They've heard the anecdotal stories. They've read the news. They've seen the salacious, you know, stories coming out about this family or that family. You know, they understand the anecdotal information, and they're scared to death based upon these anecdotes. How do you respond to that? You know, when they say, hey, you know, this is dangerous. How do you respond to that?
There are a few ways. Let's go to the practical first, then the philosophical. The practical is, and I've said this publicly on public radio and other places, people who want to do evil things to children, like public school teachers, like public school parents, like homeschool parents, those who want to do evil things are very clever, and they will do evil things. and it is horrible, but it is very, very difficult to stop people with evil hearts from doing evil things. That's the first thing I'll say. Do homeschool parents ever do bad things? Yes. And when they do, it's bad. Now, also, now I'm going to tell you statistically, there's a small amount of research that actually shows that homeschooled children are safer, better off in terms of abuse and neglect than are those in institutional schools. That's the data we have so far. You know, so they cannot make an argument from data that homeschooled children are more at risk. And then finally, it goes to the whole concept of the philosophy and the theory behind this. If we think biblically that the government, civil government's job is to punish the evildoer and commend the doer of good, and that is what it is, and that is also the American tradition. The government's job is not to try to control Kevin and Susie and Mary and everybody, control, 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 to try to keep them from maybe doing something evil in the future. And when we start talking about profiling certain colors of skin or certain colors, you know, types of hair, everybody gets, you know, in a rave over that and say, we don't do that. We don't randomly stop cars because somebody has a certain skin color. It's the same thing with the homeschooling. Those who choose to not put their children in government schools to not be profiled and then start doing more government controls on them. Mm-hmm. So there are many layers to this, mm-hmm. many, many layers.
Well, and, you know, anecdotal information only goes so far anyway, and people respond to anecdotal information are not going to be making wise decisions. And the stats, the statistics seem to indicate, at least the statistics we provided for the Gentoo survey, that was that homeschoolers were much less likely to be sexually abused than their counterparts in public and private schools.
Yes.
Is that what the data overall is presenting?
Yes. And like I said, we don't have many studies. Let's just face it, we don't. But we found what you just said, and then also Roger Williams, a brilliant man here in Oregon, he went and studied, said his quote, legally homeschooled students are 40% less likely to die by child abuse or neglect than the average student nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few studies, and like I said, what we know right now is there's less risk for the homeschooled than those in conventional schools. Also, I did a study myself using the data from a group that wants to control homeschoolers more. I use their own data. And I found out that there is no correlation between the degree of government control of homeschooling and the amount of child abuse and neglect, which is already minimal in homeschooling. So even if you made the argument and somebody fell for it that more control would reduce evil, it doesn't look like it would.
Yeah.
So I keep going back to this, Kevin. Some people say this is a straw man, Brian, but I think it's relevant. You have all kinds of government control, all kinds of mandatory reporting laws in the public schools. And yet, today as we sit here, this is an estimate of the U.S. Department of Justice, 2017, 10% of those students, which would be about 5 million. Now just let that sink in for a minute. About 5 million of today's public school students will be sexually abused or maltreated by public school workers, teachers, counselors, coaches, administrators, before they graduate.
That's really
horrendous.
High. That's really,
now,
really
now,
high.
Add to that, Kevin, many of those public school students will be sexually or physically abusing their children. Add to that, many of those public school students are being sexually or physically abused by their peers. Add to that, many of them are being bullied by their peers. Now, I'm wondering how in perspective does the minuscule number of homeschooled children who might be harmed, how does that fit into that picture? And why is there not an outcry over the outrageous things happening there?
You're right. And our Gentoo survey found that public and private school students, especially public school students, were much more likely, I think it's 300% more likely to be sexually abused mm-hmm. than those mm-hmm. kids in homeschools. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about the future for just a moment. Mm-hmm. Brian, do you expect there to be more restrictions on homeschooling? Do you expect there to be more growth? Do you expect that, you know, God's hand is going to be upon us and there'll be protection for homeschooling rights, not just in this country, but say in Brazil and Germany, Sweden, elsewhere? Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a possibility for the defense of freedom and liberty for homeschooling parents in this country and around the world?
There is. God smiles on parents doing what they're supposed to do with their children, and that's spending time with them, having relationship with them, enjoying the cardinals and the scrub jays and the earthworms that he created. God enjoys that, and he blesses that. And he enjoys and blesses, you know, parents teaching their children about him, about Christ. So there is something special he has done for the homeschool movement in the United States and many nations around the world. Mm. We know there are people who don't like it. They want to control it. But I think it has – I know it's been growing. I think it's going to continue growing.
Yeah.
I think that if this continues in terms of a strength, and if homeschool families – this is a really important point I wanted to make, Kevin, on this show. This is not just about homeschool families. This whole concept of the parental duty and right and authority to raise children rather than have the state be in charge of teaching, training, and indoctrinating them, deciding what's right for them, that's for all parents. That's whether you decide to put your child in a Roman Catholic school, you know, a Jewish school, an agnostic, New Age, independent school, or homeschool. This should be important to you. Professor Bartolet says, we have in her book, Nobody's Children, she says that every parent of a young child be required to admit to their home at periodic intervals a government-authorized home visitor. Mm. And they have extended visitors who mandatory reporters and includes, quote, surveillance, unquote. So this is a total flipping of the world around. But I think that there's still enough Americans and people in other countries say, no, that is not right. That's not what you do in a free nation. Parents are charged. So I think it's going to continue to grow. And we have seen God work behind the scenes to make it easier in Brazil and not so nerve-wracking to homeschool many other nations. There are only a few where it's, you know, strictly forbidden.
Yeah.
We'll see what God does there.
Yeah. Well, praise God that he has provided this option during a time of dissolution and a decline for Western civilization. Yet, thanks be to God, there has been an island of freedom, an island of culture, an island of faith, an island where the discipleship, the shepherding of children can occur without the molestation of the state and state bureaucracies. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing that God is continuing to provide for his people here and all around the world. We have seen this, friends. We've seen so many judicial cases, so many legislative battles waged and won by homeschooling, homeschool advocates, by HSLDA, by Brian Ray and the National Home Education Research Institute through the years. And all praise be to God for his goodness to us. And my heart is filled with thanksgiving and gratitude for what the Lord has done, not just in my family and for my family, but for millions of other families around the modern, secular, postmodern age. Well, friends, you've been listening to the Generations Broadcast. Brian Ray has been our guest from the National Home Education Research Institute. You can visit his website at nheri.org. And Brian, thank you. It's been good to have you again. We want to have you back soon.
Welcome, Kevin. It's been great. It's been a blessing. Thank you for giving me the time to be with you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.